That bunch of cardinals. That bunch of cardinals.
St. Louis's biggest unofficial local holiday is almost here, and that can only mean one thing.
Redbirds jack off to their best start in 20 years.
My annual J.C. Quarkman home opener baseball extravaganza.
Mike McGuire and Sammy Susser.
If it's ever been performed, sung, or said on stage, in the movies, or on TV.
Your pal Gary Brown, St. Louis, Missouri. P.S. The Mets are pond scum.
Chris Matthews.
This guy's been in a slump. Hey, buddy, how about getting a hit before Jesus gets back?
The annual J.C. Quarkman home opener baseball extravaganza.
Thursday morning right here at jcontheline.com and the J.C. Quarkman podcast.
But I try. I can't get no. When I'm driving in my car, and a man comes on the radio, and he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no. No. Hey, that's what I say. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. But I try. I can't get no. When I'm watching my TV, and a man comes on to tell me how white my shirts can be. Well, he can't be a man, cause he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I can't get no. No. Hey, that's what I say.
I don't know why I feel so blue. I try so hard. It's up to you.
Do you try?
Yes,
you
indeed,
try.
I do. Oh, yes, indeed, I do. I try. But all is lost and nothing gained.
You never try. That's a lie.
Of course I do.
That's a lie.
No, I do.
All she wants is satisfaction. All she wants is some reaction.
I just want a man with action. Because I can't get no
satisfaction. She can't get no satisfaction. He tells her, baby, better come back later next week. As you see, I'm on a losing streak. She can't get no. No. She can't get no satisfaction.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, April 1st, 2022, 230 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? J.C. Quarkman podcast right here at jcontheline.com. No April Fool's jokes today. I don't do April Fool's jokes. I don't like unexpected things. I'm sorry, that's just me. If that upsets you, I have good reason. This is a true story, okay? So this was right around, let's say about 2000, the year 2000. And I meet this lovely gal, and we begin dating. She does not want to tell anybody who she's seeing for reasons that should be obvious. So it's about 3 months into the relationship, and she finally breaks down and decides to, her girlfriends know something's up, because all of a sudden she's not available anymore. She's always out. You know, she's not returning calls all the time. They're like, she's seeing somebody. She's got to be seeing somebody. All right. They put her up against the wall. They pin her against the wall. And they say, what's going on? We want to know. And she finally breaks down and tells them, well, yes, I have been seeing somebody. And like, who is it? And she, all right. And she tells them, it's me. She comes back from that. It was like after work drinks or something. And she comes straight to my place afterwards, and she's in tears. And the reason is because as soon as she let the cat out of the bag, her girlfriends began giving her a tongue lashing, which, interestingly, is the same thing I was doing to her. Good morning, everybody. But anyhow, they let her know that they did not approve of her choice of me as her companion. And so naturally, she's like, why? What's the matter? Why? Why do you hate him so much? And the girlfriend says, oh my God, he is such an asshole. Do you know what I heard him do once? He was at the top of the arch, and he told his listeners to come down and stand under the arch, and he started throwing stereos and TVs off the top of the arch, saying, if you catch it, you can keep it. Oh my God, what an asshole. Who would do something like that? Now, there are several holes in that story. Number one, the windows at the top of the arch don't open. And if you think I'm going to go stand on the top of the arch, you're out of your fucking mind. So that's number one. Number two, if you're saying to yourself, gosh, you know, I'm a big fan of Monty Python, and I seem to remember something that sounds hauntingly similar to that back in the early 70s on one of their comedy albums. They did a bit called Catch It and You Keep It, and it was the same thing. They were standing on some sort of big building, and they were pushing televisions off and saying, if you catch it, you can keep it, and you would hear the muffled screams of people who were crushed by several televisions back in the 70s, as you know, weighed about the same as a Buick Skylark. And if you thought all this, you'd be right, because in fact, it was a Monty Python bit back in the early 70s. It was a comedy bit. So that's hole number two in the story. Hole number three is that was an April Fool's Day bit on the radio. Nobody was standing at the top of the arch throwing electronic equipment off the top and telling people if you catch it, you can keep it. That's hole number three. And hole number four is that it wasn't even me. It was Smash who did it on the radio when he was doing the morning show on Casey. So as you can see, this is part of the problem of being recognized in the community, that people get their stories all muddled up and that's how it comes up. It's like a game of telephone. Remember you used to play that in grade school where somebody would say something, it would go all the way around the room. By the time it got all the way around the room, it wasn't anything. It didn't sound anything like what the original statement was. And everybody laughed and it was fun. And then, of course, because I am a man and she was a woman, even after I explained all of this to the young woman I was dating, she was still crying, even though I told her what I just told you. There wasn't a lick of truth in this whole thing, and she was still upset. That's why I don't like April Fool's Day anymore. One of many reasons. Let's leave it at that. Yesterday, I completed my spring training tour of Central Florida. We saw George Steinbrenner Field, where the Yankees play. That was in Tampa about a week and a half ago. Nice ballpark. Nothing special. Then we went to the spring training facility of the Philadelphia Phillies and saw their game. And that complex is beautiful. That's in Clearwater. And oh my God, just beautiful. And by the way, you sample all the food. A very, very delicious Philly cheesesteak at the Phillies facility. And then I had some sort of sausage at Steinbrenner's place. Yesterday, we went to the Toronto facility in Dunedin. And that ballpark has been around since 1970, and it looked like it. And I asked the woman at the concession stand, what's the best thing you have here? And she said, oh, the Italian sausage is really, really good. I'm like, fine, give me one of those. I sit down, and I start to eat this thing, and I realize there's a possibility that the Italian sausage I am currently eating came with the original shipment back in 1970. Let's just say I had a light lunch. I took like three or four bites of it. I was like, okay, that's not going to do it. Next. Speaking of baseball, did you read this heartbreaking story by Mike Schultz, the former manager of your St. Louis Cardinals? He is just, it sounds like when you're reading this thing, and he hasn't really publicly made any statements about his firing last year, and it rocked the baseball world. you know, I'm watching these Cardinal games, the ones not from Jupiter, the ones that are on the road, the various other facilities like the ones I just mentioned, in like Port St. Lucie where the Mets play, and you get the out-of-town broadcasts. So I'm watching the Mets, and they're all talking about how unbelievable it is. They're almost sort of like pointing a finger at the St. Louis Cardinals organization as if to say, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. So anyhow, yesterday, Schultz spills the beans and just says, I'm heartbroken. I never saw it coming. I thought they were calling me to put a contract extension together, and instead they fire me. They do it over the internet because of COVID. And I'll just let you read the thing yourself. You'll be embarrassed for the Cardinal organization, and you'll sort of be a little pissed off, and you'll be the saddest thing I've read in a long time. But I'll say this. I don't think there's anybody in baseball who doesn't think that the first major opening for a Major League Baseball managerial position isn't going to go to Mike Schultz. He's going to have a job before the end of this season. You know, managers always get, there's two things that always happen in the first couple of months of the regular season, and that is somebody throws a no-hitter because the pitchers are so far ahead of the hitters at this time, and the hitters don't have their timing down yet. So that's number one. And number two, a manager gets fired. But when Mike Schultz gets that managerial position, it's going to be bittersweet because he is still Cardinal baseball with every molecule of his body. But I'm going to try to read that thing because it's floating around on the internet. It's very, very sad, but it's something I think you should know. I don't know what is going on with the weather. It's just absolutely insane. This is awfully, awfully late in the season. For it's not that we don't get freezing and we don't get frost and stuff like that, but we don't get, you know, several days in a row. You don't get these extended periods of really, really horribly shitty weather. You know, there's frost warnings out all over the place. March came in like a lion and went out like a wounded wildebeest. Jeez, somebody turn up the heat. And if you're looking ahead to Thursday in the home opener, not very encouraging looking right now. Right now, and again, we're talking about almost an entire week, so the forecast will change a half a dozen times between now and then. But, oh, wait a minute, the Channel 4 is actually talking about this right now.
There. 55 should do it for the high, which is still below normal, but after yesterday's blech, we'll absolutely take it.
Spell blech.
Dry evening with a temperature of about 53 degrees. Now, back to those Lego projects for a moment. What's the timing on that Saturday rain? It's not early in the morning.
What the hell are you talking about? It's like my dad used to say, I would have written you a letter, but I don't know how to spell. All right, what's next? All right, April 1st, couple of things to look forward to. Final Four NCAA basketball tournament goes down on Saturday. Kansas against Villanova, Duke against North Carolina. Then the championship game is Monday. Major League Baseball opening day next Thursday. The Masters is next weekend. The NFL draft is at the end of the month. For movies, the Jake Gyllenhaal thriller Ambulance and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 hits theaters next weekend. The Mark Wahlberg drama Father Stu gets released on April 13th. Nicolas Cage, a comedy called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, comes out on the 22nd. On TV, the Grammys are Sunday after being postponed earlier this year because of COVID. Also, the Tony Hawk documentary Until the Wheels Fall Off premieres on HBO on Monday. The Netflix docuseries, Our Great National Parks, premieres on April 13th. That's the one narrated by Barack Obama. And the new Kardashians show, oh yeah, I look forward to that. Better Call Saul returns to AMC on the 18th. And we got a couple of holidays. The big one is Easter. It's on the 17th. But Tuesday is Deep Dish Pizza Day. National Beer Day, 7th. National Pet Day, the 11th. Earth Day, the 22nd. Arbor Day is April 29th. Starting to get a little more details on the Bruce Willis situation, the LA Times spoke to dozens of people who say they witnessed signs of Bruce Willis's cognitive decline before he announced he suffered from aphasia, and he reportedly struggled with his lines on multiple movies and even misfired his gun once. Lala Kent played Bruce's daughter in the movie Hard to Kill 2 years ago. By the way, Bruce Willis made 24 movies in 4 years. because he knew his condition was deteriorating, and he just wanted to basically stockpile as much money as possible for his family and also for his care. Anyhow, this gal who played Bruce's daughter in the movie, she said there was a scene where he was supposed to deliver a line, which was her cue to duck, and then he was supposed to fire the gun. But two times in a row, he didn't say the line before firing. Nobody was hurt. But another source says the people on the set were shaken up. Meanwhile, Mike Burns, the director of a 2021 movie called Out of Death, sent an email to the screenwriter saying they had to cut Bruce's dialogue by about 5 pages and they had to shorten it because they didn't want any monologues. He was also wearing an earpiece where somebody would tell him what to say because he couldn't remember his lines. So he had this thing in his ear, just like a hearing aid. And somebody off camera would say, all right, here's the line. Out of my way, doofus. And then Bruce Willis would say, out of my way, doofus. And then they'd go on to the next scene. And then the weirdest one was there was a movie called White Elephant, which hasn't been released yet. And they say he was in bad shape for that. He reportedly told 2 crew members, here's the quote, I know why you're here, and I know why you're here, but why am I here? He often didn't understand what his lines meant. He said it was less of an annoyance and more like, how do we not make Bruce look bad? How do we work around this? And listen to this clip. I pulled this off Inside Edition. He's doing press, you know, those movie junkets, you know, where the reporters come in and ask questions and then the next guy comes in and they just do this all day. Listen to the way he sounds here.
I really love how the end of this film came together, and it was really cool.
Boy, that hurts to have to listen to that. All right, now, I've done a pretty good job of keeping the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing out of your ears the last couple of days after the initial burst at the front part of the week. Can't do that today. Paul Rodriguez is a comedian who's been around forever. He did a little acting on the side, and back in the early 2000s, when Will Smith made the movie Ali, Paul Rodriguez played one of the guys in his corner, like his cut man or something like that. Here's the story that he tells about that experience.
Rodriguez says during filming, Smith became a real-life Jekyll and Hyde.
I'd be walking around and he'd hurl some insult. You know, I just kept it in. I went, what am I going to do?
Rodriguez was cast as Muhammad Ali's boxing ring physician, Dr. Ferdy Pacheco, a role he traveled all the way to Africa to perform for the Rumble in the Jungle scenes.
Rodriguez says the real-life doctor showed up on the set, and that's when things turned nasty. The doctor allegedly ranted that his character didn't have a big enough role. Rodriguez says the doctor hurled racial slurs at Will Smith. After that, Rodriguez claims Will Smith took out his anger on him.
Will Smith says, you better be careful. You're far away from anyone who likes you. I go, where does that come from? I mean, what do you mean I'm far away? He goes, ain't no Mexicans here in Africa. I said, what?
Rodriguez even kept a diary of the traumatic experience.
The insults just continue. That look that after he hit that look of impunity. And I'm saying to myself, it went from one of the happiest moments of my life to a horrible situation.
Rodriguez's scripted role was cut, and he was basically reduced to that of an extra.
I had lines. I didn't audition to be an extra here. It was humiliating.
Well, there's 2 things about that story. Hollywood is full of hundreds of thousands of stories about people who have been in movies who had their performances end up on the cutting room floor. That's actually not that unusual at all. It happens all the time. So that's number one. But at the same time, isn't it interesting how we get a completely different view of what it was like to be around Will Smith, who when he goes on television just looks like this, you know, happy-go-lucky, upbeat, funny, personable guy. And then you find out, maybe not. By the way, 66 people wrote letters to the FCC. There's a bunch of them online. I'm going to read through them over the weekend. And on Monday, I'll read you some of the good ones, all right? The guy who produced the Oscars says the LAPD was ready to arrest Will Smith for battery, laid out various options to Chris Rock, but he kept telling them no. All right, a bunch of stuff on television and streaming on Amazon starting today. The premiere of The Outlaws. This is a bizarre premise. Seven strangers serving community service unite together when one of them gets mixed up with organized crime. The cast includes Christopher Walken and Stephen Merchant. That's worth my time. Also on Netflix today, Judd Apatow. It's a comedy, The Bubble, about the cast and crew trying to film a blockbuster movie while locked down in quarantine. Keegan-Michael Key, one of the funniest people on earth. David Duchovny in this thing. I'll be watching that one, too. Of course, the Final Four starts Saturday, tomorrow, 5:09 Central Time for Kansas and Villanova, and then Duke, North Carolina at 7:49. Saturday Night Live, Jared Carmichael hosts. The Grammys are on Sunday night. You can bet your sweet bippy, as Rowan and Martin used to say. Where'd that come from? Wow. That there'd be a lot of jokes about the Chris Rock Will Smith thing at the Grammy Awards. I don't know who's hosting that. Usually it's Ice Cube or Ice Tea or Ice Coffee or Ice Castles. I don't remember. Late Night Tonight, Hugh Jackman and the Red Hot Chili Peppers on with Jimmy Fallon. Oh, look at this. Jimmy Kimmel, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Colbert's got John C. Reilly. Man, is he good in that Lakers thing they're running on HBO now. Wow, is he good. Much better actor than I ever thought he was. Also, Mandy Patinkin and Ken Burns. All on with Colbert tonight. That's a pretty good show. Eddie Murphy in Talks to Star in a movie about Parliament Funkadelic leader George Clinton. The BBC making a four-part documentary series to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Rolling Stones. It was 52 years ago today, 1970. Nixon signed a measure banning cigarette advertising on radio and television to take effect January 1st, 1971. Very controversial. At the time, hard to believe we lived like that at one point. My uncle, who played for the Cubs in the early 60s, used to do Lucky Strike commercials. He died at 65. Have a nice day. 38 years ago, 1984, Marvin Gaye figures, well, I'm okay here with my dad. Pow, pow. He's dead, killed by his own father. I love these pictures that keep circulating on social media about Christie Brinkley, who is, well, she's like mid-60s, I guess. And she's in full hair and makeup. And they're like, she doesn't age. She doesn't age. It's like, look, take all that hair and makeup off. I guarantee you, she's aging. And also, she's nuts. 28 years ago today, 1994, she's on a ski trip in Colorado. And the helicopter she's in crashes into a mountainside, injuring five people and killing Christie's marriage with Billy Joel because she dumped him later that month. I guess she had some sort of epiphany or something about her life. And that happens a lot of times after people survive some sort of life-endangering moment and they start reevaluating their lives. For whatever reason, Christie Brinkley goes home and goes, you know, I got to change the way I'm doing things. I was just almost killed. Billy, I'm sorry. We're done. And turns right around then and marries one of the other survivors from the helicopter crash. And then she divorced him a year later. But boy, if you're pretty, you get away with that kind of shit in this country. All right, birthdays today. Taron Killam used to be on Saturday Night Live. Funny guy. I was surprised at how short his stint was on that show. 40 today. Rachel Maddow, 49. Joe Francis, that's the Girls Gone Wild guy. He's 49. Susan Boyle from one of those talent shows, Britain Got Talent. And she pretty much shocked the panel of judges and the crowd that day, you'll recall. Annette O'Toole, Superman's mom in Smallville. Married to Martin Short, by the way, 70 today. Christopher Maloney turned 61 on Saturday. Emily O'Harris, 75. Paris Jackson, 24. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother turns 40 on Saturday. Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills, 90210. She's from upstate Illinois. Where is it? Like, is it the town where Eastern Illinois University is? I always get confused because Dick Van Dyke was from right around there, too. I'd have to look that up. And I don't know. Did I mention she's 50 yet? Eddie Murphy, 61. David Hyde Pierce from Frasier, 63. Alec Baldwin, 64. Tony Orlando, 78. Wayne Newton is 80. I was in Vegas doing an interview with Wayne Newton once, and he's dressed all in black, and you step outside, and it's about 193 degrees outside. And I said to him, I don't understand. Everybody tells you when you're in this kind of heat, you're supposed to wear reflective clothing. You wear light colors, but you're always dressed in black. And he tried to tell me it was an Indian thing, because he's Indian, or American Indian, or Native American, however you want to say it. But he tried to say that's what his ancestors did, and you wear black, and then it makes you sweat, and the sweat cools your body. Maybe in Vegas, where there's no humidity, I suppose that could work, but you're still probably better off wearing white. And I want to play this for you. You know, I'm a big fan of Colbert, and I think his monologues and set pieces are fantastic. But I'm telling you, Jimmy Kimmel has been on fire the last 6 months or so. I don't know who these writers are or who he's got working for him, but I'm telling you, this is top-notch stuff, and it's to the point now where I think that Kimmel has probably pulled even with Stephen Colbert as far as the entertainment quality and just how many jokes are packed into the monologues and the set pieces and stuff like this. I present for you evidence to support my claim.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, they're not jumping to any conclusions. They've begun what they call their official review. The president and CEO of the Academy sent a letter to members, says it'll take them a few weeks to complete their investigation of this incident. And a lot of people are wondering why it will take a few weeks to investigate something we all saw happen in real time. You have to remember, it takes these people 4 hours to hand out 8 awards. So they're in no rush. They do one thing a year, and that's it. But you know what they say, it's an honor just to be investigated, and they have vowed to take appropriate action. So now the question is, what are they going to do? Are they going to suspend Will Smith's membership or maybe even take his Oscar away? I don't think they should do either of those things. I really don't. If the Academy wants to punish Will Smith, you know what they should do? I have the idea. They should make him host the red carpet interviews for E! Next year. Let him stand outside asking Olivia Colman, who designed her purse for 4 hours. Or maybe for 10 years, he's not allowed to star in anything good. No big franchises, no big directors. The Academy sentences you to one decade of Hallmark Christmas movies. Right? So the Academy released a statement in the morning, and they released a second statement not long ago that had a surprise in it. It said Mr. Smith was asked to leave the ceremony and refused, which is a new nugget. I don't know who asked him to leave. Maybe Jazzy Jeff asked him. I don't know. Hey, Jazzy, can you pass a message along to Will? Can you imagine who would have accepted his Oscar if he'd been thrown out? Chris Rock, maybe? I don't know. You know, usually when someone's asked to leave and refuses to go, that's when security comes in and takes that person away. But in this case, they decided to give him an Oscar and let him back on stage to speak. We're all feeling the repercussions of this slap. It's not just Chris Rock. My jaw hurts just from telling so many jokes about it at this point. Many notables have spoken out and condemned both what Will Smith did and also those in the audience who gave him a standing ovation after he did it, including a famous athlete who's been the subject of some Chris Rock jokes himself.
The question I've been getting is Will Smith and Chris Rock. Hey, look, it was unfortunate. I think Will was wrong. Look, I understood the feeling. Now, in my life, I've been through a lot of crap, and I was raising two young kids, and every comedian in the country had an OJ routine, and don't think I wouldn't want to be slapped a couple of those guys, but you got to accept it's humor, and I didn't even think that was all that egregious.
Okay, so when OJ's giving you a lecture on self-control, I didn't look it up, but I believe that's the very definition of egregious.
I know this. After what happened to me in Las Vegas, if I would have done that in front of a billion people watching around the world, they would have given me life without. I'm just saying, hey, take care.
Just in case you're unaware that the world's upside down, we have OJ now claiming someone else got off easy. I'm just saying.
That's pretty good stuff. That's pretty good stuff. And with that, we say the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, April 1st, 2022. 2. 230 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known it, has come to a close. We are here every Monday through Friday, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here. Just click on it, and it will start playing immediately. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
JC Corcoran Podcast.